Hi, ladies. I really want you to know that I miss your smiling faces at church. I've been checking my Facebook page more than often just to see if anybody posts anything and how everybody's doing. And I just want you to know I miss you. So I wanted to come down and record a little devotion for you all. And before we begin, I'd like to say that if any of you ladies have a prayer request that you'd like me to pass along to the other members in our particularly Wednesday night group, you can text me at 330-301-6542, or you can private message me on Facebook, or you can call the house phone 330-426-4567. And I'll be sure to pass them along. And if anybody that's not in our Wednesday night group wants to be included in these prayer requests, you could do the same by texting me or calling me, and I'll add you to the list. Our ladies' Bible study usually meets Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We're working on a book, 12 Women of the Bible. It's a video-based series, and I think we have two lessons left. So, Lord willing, we'll finish up that sometime later in April or May. And I'm looking forward to getting back together with you on Wednesday night. So before I begin with this devotion, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father God, you know our hearts right at this moment. You know if any of us are dealing with anxiety or fear. You know what our immediate needs are. And I pray, Father, that you will be present with us in this time, in this moment, and that you will speak to us through your word, that you will calm our spirits. And I pray, Father, that you will enable us to depend fully on you as we go through this crisis together as ladies in the church, as the church family, and as our country. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite songs on Christian radio right now is a song by King and Country called Burn the Ships. Jonathan's going to put a link on the website, so if you want to listen to this song and see the video, you can. But the song says in part, "Burn the ships, cut the ties, send a flare into the night, say a prayer, turn the tide, dry your tears and wave goodbye. Step into a new day. We can rise up from the dust and walk away. We can dance upon our heartache. So light a match, leave the past, burn the ships, and don't you look back." The song is making reference to a practice from history. Several commanders are believed to have engaged in this practice in time of war and conquest. When reaching a new land, either to be conquered or settled, the captain would order that the ships be burned. The ships that they arrived on would be burned, if you can imagine that. This act would remove all possibility of turning back, of going home. It would force the crew to look ahead. Seems extreme, doesn't it? It's like he's saying, "Here we are, men, and here we stay." Not the best way to win friends. I think, however, that this is exactly what we need to do as Christians. In Philippians 3:12 through 14, Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forget the past and press on." When we forget the past and press on, we're doing three things. We're expressing faith in God's ability to see us through whatever lies ahead. We're letting go of our past mistakes and failures, and we're making a commitment to our future in Christ, both here and in heaven. This attitude of expressing faith in God's ability to see us through whatever lies ahead was evident in the lives of three brave sons of Israel living in Babylon during the captivity. Do you recall their story in Daniel 3? I'm sure you do, because we studied it. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had issued an order that all were to bow before his golden image or be tossed into a fiery furnace. Of course, in the words of their accusers, "There are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." So the trio is brought before the king and given one more chance to comply. As a song from my youth goes, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't... Well, I'm getting ahead of my story. When the king offers them their chance to comply, they respond with these words of faith. "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar gets really angry and responds the only way he feels he can. He tosses them into a furnace heated far greater than normal, and they don't burn. Did the guys know for sure that God would miraculously deliver them? I think not. But they express their faith in his ability to act on their behalf and acknowledge that God might choose not to act on their behalf. They express their faith in God's ability to see them through whatever was ahead. That's what we do when we burn our ships. We fully commit to move ahead, leaving our future in God's hand. God, please help us to fully trust in you to see us through all our tomorrows. Burning our ships also means letting go of our past mistakes and failures. Paul said in Philippians 3 that he forgot the past. Paul really had a past to forget. He was zealous in his persecution of the church. Remember, in Galatians 1, 13 and 14, he even says this, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Paul was even present at the stoning of Stephen, who was martyred for his faith, recorded in Acts 6 and 7. And Paul's presence there indicated that he was consenting to the stoning of Stephen. How could Paul forget those things from his past? Well, he didn't literally forget them. He could recall them at will, but he forgot their significance. He forgot the guilt from them. He forgot their value. This is how he puts it in Philippians 3, 7 through 11. "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." Pitted against the surpassing blessings of knowing Christ, anything from Paul's past was worthless and forgettable. That's how we need to view our past, as worthless and forgettable. Your sins, your mistakes, your regrets, belong in the past if you have been reborn in Christ. The song says, "So long to shame. Walk through the sorrow, out of the fire, into tomorrow. So flush the pills, face the fear, feel the wave disappear. We're coming clear, we're born again. Our hopeful lungs can breathe again. Oh, we can breathe again." Say goodbye to your shame. Say goodbye to your guilt. Say goodbye to your sin. Say goodbye to those things about you that no one else knows, that you keep hidden from view. Say goodbye to your past addictions. You're free of them in Christ. Say goodbye to your past way of life. It doesn't matter now that you live with Jesus. Burn those ships and step into a new day. Third, burning our ships also means making a commitment to our future in Christ, both here and in heaven. Back to Philippians 3, verses 14 and 15, or 13 and 14, pardon me. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Notice that Paul says he presses on toward the goal to win the prize. That prize is heaven. When we fully look ahead, we make a commitment to the future in Christ. When Paul made the commitment to obey Christ on the Damascus Road, he had no idea what that meant in practical terms. God didn't lay out the plans for his future before he asked Paul for a commitment. Paul basically signed a blank contract with Jesus. In Paul's own words from 2 Corinthians 11, 21 through 33, here are some of the things he faced after signing up to serve Christ. "Whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking of as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, and in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of Damascus guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. Paul was fully committed to walk with Christ through this life and on to the next to receive that crown of life. When Paul burned the ship of his past, he was in for quite the adventure. But he says, "I press on." He was not discouraged by his trials because he knew his traveling companion was worthy of his trust, and he knew his reward would be great. More importantly, Paul understood that you can't enjoy the prize that is heaven without the journey through this life with Christ as your guide and companion. So burn your ships, make a commitment to walk by faith, and don't look back. Step into a new day. We can rise up from the dust and walk away. We can dance upon our heartache. So light a match, leave the past, burn the ships. Let's close with prayer. Our Father God, we thank you for the example of Paul. And we thank you for our calling as Christians. Help us, Father, to be faithful to it and to look forward to that reward that we'll have with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.